Good morning. Today's verse is taken from John chapter 12, verses 20 to 33, and it's titled Jesus Predicts His Death. Now, those were some Greeks among us who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So just as St. Patrick is one of my favorite Christian figures, I also love this particular passage in John. It is actually a pretty ecumenical passage. We have some Greeks coming to Philip, and we have Philip and Andrew going to Jesus, and then we have the occasion for Jesus to do some more preaching and predicting and talking about what's coming and what's going to happen. And this is as we ourselves approach Holy Week and go through the stories of these events again. So we have some Greeks who have come to worship at the festival. And this is worth considering because the fact that they were Greeks means that they're not Jewish. They are Gentiles, which means anybody who's not Jewish. Sometimes in these times that the world is kind of divided between Jew and Greek, which is Jew and non-Jew. So, but they're here at the festival, at the temple. They have come up the Temple Mount. They're here. And this is also worth considering because the temple was the central place, the focus of Jewish worship. And at that time, there was a temple, and the worship consisted of bringing the sacrifices. People would come from wherever they were. The temple was the one place that was the central seat of God. That was the place that God had ordained for people to do this. And so they would come with their sacrifices. And we talked recently about the sacrifices in the Old Testament and the money changers in the temple providing those sacrifices and all that. But also understand that the temple was constructed so that there were places for everybody to keep everybody in their place. The farther away you got from the center of the temple, the farther you were from the Holy of Holies, the farther you were from God, presumably. In the outer courts, there could be just about anybody. There could be women, there could be foreigners, there could be lame people, whatever. The people who weren't allowed closer in. And the closer in you got, the more select the admittance list until finally at the Holy of Holies, there was nobody who was allowed to go in there except the high priest, and then only when specified. So access was very limited in some senses, but it was more open in others. And so these Greeks were what gets called God worshipers. They weren't Jewish, but they recognized something attractive in the Jewish faith. And so they had come to worship. And they were there at the temple. And Jesus was there, and the disciples were there. And Jesus had become pretty well known, and there were, you know, stories going around about him and all that. And the Greeks really wanted to know more. They were seekers. You know, we have lots of seekers in the Bible. Zacchaeus was one of them. He climbed that tree so that he could get a better look at Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus too. And people are always coming to Jesus. And they sought out Philip, probably because of his name, possibly because of his heritage. We don't know. But they sought out Philip, and he was going to be their middleman. We would like an introduction to Jesus. We would like to get a look at him. And Philip, for whatever reason, doesn't go directly to Jesus. He goes to Andrew. Andrew is Peter's brother. And in some stories, it was Andrew who brought Peter to Jesus. And here Philip is bringing the Greeks to Andrew. And together they take the Greeks to Jesus. And they told Jesus, and the word answered gets used a whole lot in the New Testament that sounds strange to me, because often the answer doesn't seem to be in response to a question. It doesn't necessarily seem to have anything to do with what came before. And this kind of looks the same way. They come up to Jesus and they say, these Greeks would like to see, you know, these men are interested in seeing you. And he says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. So what the heck is the connection there? And he goes into a pretty long speech here, which happens a lot in John's Gospel. And he finishes this particular text with, when I am lifted up from the earth. If you were here last week, we were talking about Jesus being lifted up in the same way that the snake was lifted up in Exodus. And we know that in both cases, Jesus is talking about being lifted up on the cross. He's talking about being glorified. He's talking about being crucified. And he says, this will draw all people to me. That's exactly what has happened. He has drawn these Greeks to him just by being who he is, just by being human, by being among the people, by being at the temple, by being at the place of worship, by having his disciples around him. He draws crowds to himself by his teaching, his healing, his clearly magnetic personality. This is the same person who walked along the seashore and said to people who had been fishermen all their lives, follow me. And they dropped everything and they followed him. He is already drawing people to himself. He drew Nicodemus to him in chapter 3 when he talked about being lifted up before. So, what does this have to do with St. Patrick? St. Patrick was a slave. He grew up as a slave, and he learned to love the people who had taken him into slavery, the people who he served, whatever, the people of Ireland. And when he came back to them, because of his love for them, he came back with his ordination as a priest, all of his experience of the traditions and the culture and the religion, the old religion of Ireland, and also the Catholic faith, because he was Catholic, because this was in the 4th century when there wasn't any other Christian church. And he came back, and what he did was to go out among the people, just like Jesus did, and he would set up communities. He would establish communities of Christians, and they were communities of radical hospitality. Whenever people traveled, they knew that that was a place where they could stay. They didn't have to qualify, they didn't have to pay, they didn't have to profess a creed, they just came and received hospitality. These communities grew, people found love there, they found friendship, they found support. Ultimately, the people who came in for whatever reason and found themselves in a place where they belonged came to believe the same thing that the Christians who were hosting them did. The relationship was what came first. They came, they belonged, they believed, and then more communities were set up. And this is the way that all of Ireland was converted to Christianity. And so effective was this conversion that during this time, the faith was beginning to fall away in parts of Europe. And ultimately, it was the Irish who went back to the mainland and reconverted much of Europe. So, the hospitality, the welcoming, the drawing of all people, the becoming one of the people, but the living with the people, the finding a place of hospitality where people could belong, changed the world, changed Ireland, changed Europe, changed the world. And of course, it started with Jesus doing the very same thing. We can't make people believe what we know to be true. We can be ever so convinced, and we can preach, and we can teach, and the people who hear us are the people who feel that they belong with us. You've heard it said that people don't care what you say or care what you know until they know that you care. This was what Jesus did. This was what Patrick did. This was what the successful Christians of the world have done. This is what we do and can continue to do. So yes, it's important to invite people to worship. It was in the context of worship that the Greeks were there and they saw him. It's also important to invite people into our homes to eat with us, to talk with us, to share joys and sorrows with us, to invite them into our churches, into our homes, into our lives. Above all, to invite people into a relationship. And through that relationship with us, with Christians, little Christs, they will see Jesus and they will come to believe. They will come to share God's love as well. It's an amazing story. Thanks be to God. Amen.